The lies, the lies, the terrible lies. Today on Sports Card Investor, three things that you will be told that you absolutely should not listen to.
My name is Jeff Wilson. By day, I invest in tech companies. And at night, I invest in sports cards. Join me on my journey to profit from the hobby we all love.
Card investors, and welcome to another episode. And today we have to set the record straight, because as a sports card investor, you are being told things that are not true. They are not true at all, and we need to make sure you do not make the mistake of listening to the advice that other people are going to tell you. We are going to break down three lies in the sports card investing world right now. And it starts with lie number one. You will be told that if you want to invest in a player, buy the most expensive card you can afford. Buy the most expensive card you can afford, by the player's key card. And the reason why people will tell you this is they will tell you that the key cards, the very expensive, rare, exclusive cards of a player, will appreciate more quickly over time than their standard base cards will. That might have been true in the past. That is largely false in the year 2020. And let me show you what I mean. First of all, let's look at the sport of basketball. Let's go and look at the cards of one of my favorite players, being here in Atlanta, Trae Young. I consider Trae Young both a great player to collect and watch, as well as a really compelling investment for the years ahead. Now, if I wanted to buy a really key Trae Young rookie card, I might look to Prism, because people love investing in Prism. And I might say, let me get a serial numbered Prism card, one that is expensive, but maybe not crazy out of reach, like maybe his gold card or something like that would be. So let's look at his blue card that is numbered to 199. And here it is on your screen. This is Trae Young's 2018 Prism Basketball blue card, numbered to 199 in PSA 10. A beautiful card, and the price appreciation of this card has also been beautiful. I am going back here on your screen. I am going back months and months. In fact, I'm going all the way back to the end of October of last year, all the way through current, right? And this card at the end of October last year was around $800. It is now around $4,500. So had you bought, had you sprung and paid that $800 for this card, it's now worth $4,500 less than a year later. You're probably pretty happy. From a percentage increase standpoint, that is a 462.5% increase. But you know what would have made you happier? If you had spent that same $800 buying Trae Young's Prism base cards in PSA 10. Because here's that graph for the exact same time period. This is his 2018 Prism base card, his standard base card. And this card during the same time period has gone up 561%. 561%. So from a percentage standpoint, his base card has significantly outpaced his much more rare blue card numbered to 199. If you had spent that same $800 on base cards last October versus buying the one blue card, you would have actually done better over the course of time. Okay, well, now some of you may be saying, well, you know, the blue card, that's not really a premier, you know, key card of his. So maybe it's not true if you get into more expensive cards. Sure, let's take a look. Let's talk about Luka. Let's talk about Luka's National Treasures RPA card, the absolute iconic rookie card for any modern recent basketball star is their National Treasures RPA numbered to 99. And in Luka's case, let's look at a PSA 9 because those have sold a little more often. The 10s of that card are extremely rare. A PSA 9 of that card, of the National Treasures RPA numbered to 99 of Luka, sold for $47,878 back on February the 20th. That same card sold for $72,100 on July the 23rd. That's a very nice increase of 68.2% over the course of that approximately 5 month period. Let's now look at that exact same 5 month period of Luka's base card. This is his base Prism card in PSA 10 during that exact same date range. This card has increased in value. Let's go over here. By 376%. So his National Treasures card in PSA 9 went up 68.2% during the same time period that his base Prism card went up 376%. Surprising? Does this apply to other sports too? Let's have a look at the sport of baseball. One player who I really liked going into this season, I was buying a lot of his cards, I was talking about him a lot, was Juan Soto. Now, some of the Juan Soto cards I was buying, admittedly, were these chrome, these Bowman Chrome Prospect auto cards. His first Bowman on-card auto, BGS 9.5. If you watched a couple episodes ago, I showed you that I actually own several of this exact card, this Bowman Chrome from 2016, BGS 9.5. This card, let's go back to April 1st and look at what this card has done from April 1st through today. This card, back on April 1st, you could have bought for around $1,275, and the most recent sale of this card was $2,000, although it had recently gotten up closer to $2,500, $2,700. But looking at those sales from the beginning of the period and the end of the period, that is an increase of 56.9%. Now, that's a pretty good increase. I'm happy that I own several of these cards and that they went up like that during that period of time. But would I have been better off if I simply bought even more, a whole bunch of his less expensive, just standard Topps base cards? Let's take a look. Because while this card increased 56.9%, his 2018 Topps update card in PSA 10 during the exact same time period increased 143%. Again, the base card outpacing what many would consider to be the key card, the more expensive card. Now, this is not true in every single case. You can find examples where key cards have outpaced base cards. So this is not a universal lie, if this is what you are told, but it is certainly also not the truth that you are better off putting your money into the more expensive key cards. And I'll explain why I believe this is occurring, because this is not how things used to be in the hobby. This is something that has shifted over the course of the last year. I believe this is occurring because of the fact that we're having so many new investors and collectors getting into the hobby, and they don't know about all of the different key cards and variations and chase cards, and they also may not have enough money to pursue those types of cards. Those cards tend to be more for your really high-end collectors and investors. The people who are getting in it because they want to flip cards, because they want to make a dollar, because they want to get into it for the first time and start buying cards, they're going after the base cards. Because the base cards are the easiest ones to find, they're the most straightforward, they're the most standard, and they're also the ones that a lot of social influencers talk about, and I talk about them on this show, because of the fact that there's the most transaction volume of those cards, so they're the easiest to follow. So what we're seeing is that the demand for base cards is actually exceeding the supply more rapidly than the demand for the high-end cards is exceeding the supply of those. So we are seeing base cards accelerate because of the increased demand on them past the more expensive key cards, which don't have the same degree of demand on them. Really interesting phenomenon and a lie that you want to make sure you don't get caught in. All right, let's talk about lie number two. Lie number two is you are better off buying cards during the off season. This is something that I heard a whole bunch of times when I got into sports card investing. Wait till the off season, buy the cards in the off season. Card prices go down in the off season. That may have been true historically. It is not true anymore. What off season? Let's have a look. For example, let's say you wanted to buy some football cards this past off season. Let's look at what Lamar Jackson's cards have done since the day the season ended. That is the very first day on this graph is what his base prism from 2018 PSA 10 was at. The day the season ended, it was at $275. This was a card that I wanted to buy because I thought Lamar was going to be a good investment. And when the season ended, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to give it a few weeks. I'm going to let people forget about football. I'm going to let people start moving on to other things. And I'll start buying some of these cards up at a discount. Well, they never went down. Even a couple of weeks later, these cards were all of a sudden $350. They were $275 when the season ended. Quickly, they became $350, and then they just continued to go up from there. It was only a month after the season ended that they hit $400. And then they continued to rise, and they continued to rise. And 3 months after the season ended, they were up at $600. And 4 months after the season ended, they were at $700. And 5 months after the season ended, they were at $1,500. And 6 months after the season ended, these cards got up to $3,500. Where was the price dip during the off season that we should have all waited for to buy? It didn't exist. It didn't exist with Lamar Jackson. It didn't exist with any player that was worth buying in this football off season. I'll give you another guy who I was looking at. This was Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen. I said, I think that the Bills are going to be a solid team. I think that now with Tom Brady out of the division, the Bills have the opportunity to potentially take, you know, to potentially become the king of the division. So Josh Allen would have been a card I would have liked to have bought this offseason. But when was the buying opportunity? Because all they did, as you can see on the graph, is they went up and up and up and up and up, and they never came down at any point during the offseason, right? And the same is true with every single player. Let's look at Patrick Mahomes. Same pattern. The guy wins the Super Bowl. There's not really a Super Bowl letdown. There was actually a tiny, tiny dip with him right after he won the Super Bowl. There was a little bit of a dip, but it didn't last for long. And then his cards just went up and up and up and up and up on this crazy climb the entire offseason. But it's not just football, and it's not just this year. We saw the same thing in baseball's offseason, going back all the way back to November of last year and tracking card prices through this year. Like, for example, this is Juan Soto. Now we're going all the way back to November. So we're going back to after, you know, they had won the World Series, and now we're in the off season. The cards were flat, as you can see on the graph. They were flat for a little while, but there was no substantial dip. There was no buy opportunity. There was no day when these cards were all of a sudden, you know, 30% or 40% down because now we were in baseball's off season. It just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And it didn't happen with Juan Soto. It didn't happen with another guy who I was looking to buy this offseason, Rafael Devers. Look at his graph. There's no dip in that graph. This is going all the way back to last year, shortly after the season ended, and looking all the way through to today, and there's no dip. And if we go back and we look at another guy, Ozzie Albies, another guy who I would have liked to have invested in this offseason, and his cards, same deal, right? Same deal. You can see it on your screen right there. Same deal. These cards, there was never an opportunity to buy these cards for less in the offseason. And by the way, I can tell you, same thing was true with basketball before last season started. Last summer, same deal with basketball. I just saw prices go up and up. And then also, as you know, during the sports hiatus, when there were no sports, we saw prices go crazy during the sports hiatus, right? what is happening now, the reason for this is so many new people are coming into the hobby each and every week that demand every single week is more than it was the week before. So even though in the past you would have traditionally believed that you could wait to the off season and demand would start to wane as people started to pay attention to other sports, it's not the case anymore. Now I'll give you one limited exception. If a player's season ends in kind of a bad fashion, then there tends to be, we're seeing a small period of time when their prices start to dip, mainly because the hype that was running up their prices subsided. We're seeing it right this moment with some of the players who have gotten knocked out of the NBA bubble, like Zion and Ja, whose prices have taken a dip in the last couple of weeks since they've gone home from the bubble. But I just personally expect that to be somewhat temporary anyway. I think the overall demand going week over week in this hobby increasing and increasing is going to lift their prices back up. And we're going to look at a graph of every basketball player through this upcoming offseason. And we're going to go, what offseason? Prices continue to go up through most of the offseason. I think that is the reality we are now in the year 2020. So do not believe the lie that prices are going to decrease in the offseason. Lie number three, if investing in football cards, only invest in quarterbacks. That's the old wisdom, right? Only buy quarterbacks because quarterbacks are the cards that go up over time. Running backs, receivers, other positions, don't invest in those guys. The only positions that really increase in value a lot in the football card world is quarterbacks. That's the lie you've been told, right? Let's look at the last 90 days of what has happened in the football market. And I'm going to go back to Market Movers here. This is the price movements by player screen. And I have filtered this to only show football players over the last 90 days. And I've sorted it by the players who have gone up in value the most. Let's see. Who do you see? Mike Evans, number one, wide receiver. Well, okay, you know, I get that, right? Because Tom Brady and, you know, yeah, that's a special case, okay? Number two, Julio Jones. Number three, DeAndre Hopkins. Number four, Alvin Kamara. Number five, Chris Godwin. Number six, we finally have a quarterback, Cam Newton, who, by the way, I would suggest you want to talk about a special case. That's a special case right there. Number seven, Christian McCaffrey. Number eight, DK Metcalf. Number nine, Michael Thomas. Ladies and gentlemen, where are all of the quarterbacks that we were supposed to have invested in and only invested in? Because I am seeing nothing but a whole bunch of receivers and one running back and one quarterback who have had these crazy, crazy price increases over the last 90 days. Let's keep going. All right, well, there we go. Russell Wilson in number 10. But then we've got Joe Mixon, Odell Beckham Jr., Dalvin Cook, Juju Smith-Schuster. It goes on and on. We finally have Dak Prescott, but then Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley. Folks, the football card investing landscape has changed. That old lie that you were told about only investing quarterbacks, not true anymore. You can see it plainly right here. An incredible number of the cards that have been the hottest cards this offseason have not been quarterbacks at all. In fact, almost all of the cards that have been the hottest cards this offseason have not been quarterbacks. They have been receivers and the occasional running back. These are the guys who are seeing their prices double, triple, go up 4X, not the quarterbacks. Now, why might that be? Well, my theory on that one is that we're seeing, again, a new breed of people come into the hobby and they don't know these old adages. And some of these people who are coming into the hobby are fantasy sports players who are used to playing fantasy sports. In fact, I know this because I'm the one who has driven some of them into the hobby. I formed a partnership with RotoGrinders, which is the leading daily fantasy sports information site on the internet. And during the sports hiatus, since RotoGrinders didn't have daily fantasy sports information to report, they started doing a ton of great content about sports cards. And they got me involved in a lot of their content. And they're continuing to put out really good content about sports cards, even though sports has resumed right now. And so what we've seen is we've seen a lot of fantasy sports players get into the sports card market and get interested in the card game. They don't know that you're not supposed to invest in receivers or running backs. They've never heard these lies because in fantasy sports, receivers and running backs are often more valuable than the quarterbacks. So why would you not invest in receivers and running backs if you think they're going to have an exceptional season? If you're drafting those guys in the first round of your fantasy draft, then why wouldn't you also want to buy their cards? That's the way that they think. And now that's the way that the hobby works. That's the way the prices have gone this offseason. We're seeing the rise in the non-quarterback. So that old adage about only invest in quarterbacks, that is now a lie. All right, guys, I have one more lie for you, one more bonus lie. The lie is that it's hard to find good deals on cards these days because the market is so hot. Let me bust that lie for you right now because one of my favorite features in my Market Movers data platform, which I actually haven't talked about a lot, but it's in there, it's an awesome feature, is this little tab right here. So when you're looking at a card within Market Movers, like this is, we're gonna go back to this Trae Young card that we were looking at earlier in the show, this Trae Young 2018 Prism base card in PSA 10. There's a little tab right here that says for sale. And for sale tells you, it shows you all of the buy it now listings on eBay of that particular card. And here's the really cool thing. It tells you if any of those listings are under market value, under what this card last sold for. And looky here. Here is a listing on eBay of this exact card that is selling for $13.52 under what the most recent sale of that card was on eBay. There it is right there. And our tool, Market Movers, finds those cards for you every single day and puts them in this list so you can see every single card in eBay sorted by price so you know what the best deals are and you also know if you can find some cards that are under market value. By the way, if you were to buy that card right now, you essentially have paid for a portion of the Market Movers subscription. So if you're buying and selling any volume of sports cards, Market Movers can really help save you money in that process. It's one of the many cool features of Market Movers. And if you haven't had a chance to check out Market Movers yet, please go to sportscardinvestor.com and click Market Movers in the main menu bar. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I would love to know any lies that you know of. What lies have you been told that are also no longer true? Tell me in the comments below some additional lies. Maybe they'll make their way into another episode in the future. In the meantime, everybody, have a great rest of your week. See you back in a few days with my next episode. Take care.